Titus 1:15-16, the last two verses of this chapter. Paul has told Titus that he has to stay in Crete and straighten out the things that need straightening out in the churches. The churches need elders, and he must see that they are recognized and established there. The reason is error is on the stalk on the land. Error is running riot there, and it's reaching the people. There are many rebellious teachers, he says, many rebellious people, mere talkers and deceivers, especially of the Jewish group. And these men were causing tremendous damage in the churches. The believers were buying into it, and it was ruining whole households. Of course, it's not just true for the churches on Crete, Galatian churches too. The letter to the Hebrews, Romans, Ephesians, all these letters are written and in part to deal with this issue. The law teachers were rampant in these days, and they were wreaking havoc in the churches. And Paul is standing up to them and establishing the gospel. And here he is with Titus in Crete. And then he comes to this conclusion. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Now, some brief remarks on this. The first thing that strikes me here is the difference between Paul and so many today. So many today think we should all be very gentle and kind and speak very courteously and so on. And I know there's a point there. I know there's a point there. But this man speaks vehemently and plainly and clearly and unmistakably. He doesn't beat about the bush. Detestable, disobedient, unfit, corrupted, ruining. These are the kinds of words he uses. Strong, strident, trenchant words. Why? Because the issue is so important. This is not just a theological chess game, he says. Men and women are being ruined. Lives are being ruined. Havoc is coming into the churches. The elders must stand. Believers must be awake. And these teachers must be silenced. He says, to the pure, all things are pure, verse 15. Now, I have seen that very seriously corrupted. This does not mean that the godly man can sin with pleasure and with impunity. Oh, God's word commands something and says, this is wrong, whatever. No, the believer can do it. It doesn't matter, because to the pure, all things are pure. That's a devastating teaching. That's a terrible travesty of the gospel. It doesn't mean that the believer can sin with impunity. It doesn't mean he can sin and it's not sin to him. That's antinomianism. It's the high road to antinomianism. That's real antinomianism. To the pure, all things are pure. Everything has to be right. Everything is going to be right. Not that we're perfect, brother and sister, but we're aiming for perfection. Matthew 5 tells us that. Jesus says, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. We're never that in this life. To the pure, though, all things are pure. We want our thinking right. We want our minds right. We want our consciences right. We want our lives right. We're aiming for that, and that's what we're looking for. But to those who are corrupted and do not believe, the unbelievers and the professing believers in the context here, these teachers and those who are buying into this teaching and going this way, when we get into this corruption and we're not really believing, we're not really trusting, we're just outwardly conforming, or deliberately refusing, then nothing is right, nothing is pure. Is this not speaking in the sight of God? The child of God is perfect in Christ, but he wants to be perfect in his life. The unbeliever, the rejecter of Christ, the one who will not believe, the one who's corrupted in mind and conscience, nothing is pure, nothing is pure. Their minds and their consciences are corrupted. Their thinking is wrong. Their feelings, attitudes, their responses, their emotions are wrong. Nothing is right. They claim to know God. This is a word for chapel-goers and church-goers, professing believers. It's a word for me. I claim to know God. But my actions, I have to live this out. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. Words are cheap. Words are important. But words are easy. It's the actions. It's the deeds. It's the life, brother and sister. This is for us. This is for you. This is for me. How am I living? I know what I'm professing, but how am I living up to it? Am I pure in thought and word and deed? I confess my sins. But I want to be pure. I want my mind to be thinking in the right way. I want my conscience to be clear, governed by Scripture and by the Spirit. It's not only just claiming to know God. Here we're talking about the teachers. The elders have responsibility here. We're talking about the believers, professing believers. Here's the responsibility here. The elders themselves. By our actions, we must conform to the gospel. And Paul says, those who do not, especially those who claim to be Christian, those who claim to be believers, and they're not conforming to the gospel, outwardly from an inward heart, and a mind and a conscience given up to the Spirit and the Scriptures in Christ, how does he describe them? Detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. As I say, he calls a spade a spade. Well, these are strong words for... Yes, it's a strong subject, and it calls for strong words. It's a most relevant word to the 21st century where we live now. In the days where I live in England, in the gospel profession, these words are needed. It's not just a conformity, as it were, in profession. It's conformity in life and heart and conscience and mind. The whole church must be given up to this spiritual walk. We must cultivate, brother and sister, the opposite of these things. Detestable? No, we want to be gloriously fit for God. Disobedient? No, I want to be submissive to Christ and his law. Unfit for doing anything good? I want to be fit and able to do everything good. I want to be used of God in his service. Strong words, very strong passage. Many rebellious teachers, many rebellious people, mere talkers and deceivers, law teachers, lazy gluttons, evil brutes, ruining households, detestable, disobedient, unfit. Oh, what a dreadful picture. Paul says you've got to deal with it, Titus. I'm speaking to the elders now. Brothers, we have to deal with this. I'm speaking to the believers. I have to deal with it in my life. For mere professor, you have to deal with it now. Don't just merely profess. Don't merely claim to know God. Know God, enjoy God, and walk with God in obedience to him. And if any of these teachers are listening to me, God has his eye upon you, and this is what he thinks of you and your works. Repent and believe and turn to Christ now. May God bless this chapter. May God bless these thoughts and produce in our lives that which is the opposite of detestable, disobedient, and unfit. May we be fit and strong and obedient and God-glorifying, God-honoring in everything we say and do, as well as think. May it all be for the glory of God. Amen.